Thanks so much, Carmen and team. Go ahead and have a seat, everybody. Good morning and welcome. Glad to have you here in our second service today. And Mallory Cornegay, where are you, Mallory? Would you please stand? Is she in this service? Is Mallory here? She? Yes? No? Never mind. Just never mind. But I'm glad that you're here. And anyway, Mallory's one of our missionaries, and she is in for the weekend. And if you happen to see her here over the next few days, just wish her well and love on her and encourage her in her work there in Honduras. Well, today I've got a message entitled "The Church's MVP." We're in this message series that we're calling "Life Together," and I plan to talk today about a few concepts, and I want you to embrace these, and this is the kind of message where you take these concepts and you apply them, and because God is inviting you to be His partner. Here's a fantastic truth. Ordinary people like you and me are invited by God to partner with Him in delivering the goods to people. And when I say delivering the goods, I'm talking about bringing the presence of Christ, bringing a gift from God to somebody. And you don't need to have a perfect track record. You don't need to have a particular degree. God specializes in using ordinary brown paper sacks. Ordinary men and women who are available, God can use. And here's the truth. You were made to actually live a supernatural life. And when I say a supernatural life, I mean a life where the Spirit of God flows through you. That every day when you get up and you walk out your front door, you can think, you know, today God's going to use me in some way. And if I'm alert, if my eyes are open, and if I don't go out, you know, a lot of people wear their preferred person glasses. You know, if just the right type of person comes in front of me, then I'll love on them. But if you'll take off those preferred person glasses, who knows what opportunities are there for you to be this instrument of God's goodness? All right, I've got a question for you. Put it up here on the screen. What's your place in the church? What position do you play, not just in how we function here, but, you know, church is who you are. Church is not just a place you go, it's who you are. You are church. And so what's your role as God's person in the world? You know, some of you feel kind of useless. Some of you may feel somewhat self-sufficient, kind of like, you know, I'm don't know that I really need other people that much. The passage of Scripture we're in today is going to talk to us about how we really do need one another, how we are connected like a body, and everybody has a role to play. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 12. Just as a body, and this is the Apostle Paul's favorite analogy for the church, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. That means God is in you and works through you. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. So the body of Christ needs diversity and embraces diversity. And even though this body is diverse, everybody can play a part and everybody is needed. In fact, whenever you see unity and diversity, God is honored. In fact, the very word universe comes from the concept of unity and diversity. There is a diverse universe, but it works together in harmony. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, here comes this hypothetical conversation between body parts. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I really don't belong to the body. it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. In other words, you may be here today saying, you know, I don't really feel like God can use me. I don't really feel like I'm a part of the church. Regardless of how you feel, you are. The question is, are you functioning? And if the foot should say, well, you know, since I'm not something else, you know, feet aren't particularly pretty. You may think you've got pretty feet. Trust me, you don't. But feet are necessary and good and vital. And, you know, today, for example, this afternoon in the NFL, several football players will not play today because they have turf toe. Now, that doesn't sound like a bad injury, does it? But actually, it's the kind of injury that's more prevalent on artificial turf. The traction is so good that you can actually strain your big toe. And here you've got a 6'4", 265-pound linebacker, and he's not going to be able to play because he has turf toe. But you know what? If your big toe is so sore you can barely stand on it, and that little digit right there where it connects to your, if that is so sore, that one little toe can sideline that whole big body. Now, you may come here and be a part of this church and say, you know, this place is so big, I'm really not needed. Hey, this place is big, and that means more of you are needed. Everybody plays a role, and if I just sort of hide, let me hide, not encourage, not give, not serve, I'll just sort of hide in the flow. We are a weaker body. And if the toe says, I'm not that significant, regardless of what you say, you're a part of the body. And if the ear should say, I mean, ears, who has pretty ears? Ladies do. Ladies have pretty ears. Babies do. Look at my little granddaughter over there. She's got beautiful little ears. Me, on the other hand, the older I get, the bigger my ears get. Things start growing out of my ears. It's like, where did that come from? It's like, you know, I mean, there's nothing wonderful about an ear. But it functions. It has a part to play. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God's placed you in this body. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. He says, you have no reason to feel inferior. And let me put another diagram up here on the screen. What's your place in the church? Feeling useless? The church really doesn't need me. Or feeling self-sufficient? I really don't need those people. There will come a time when you will realize just how much you do need them. On the contrary, next verse he says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are actually less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God's put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. And if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. You have no reason in the body of Christ, he says, to feel inferior or to feel superior. Let's put another diagram up here. What's your place in the church? Hopefully you don't feel useless. Hopefully you don't feel self-sufficient, but you realize that the MVP of this church is you and everyone around you. I'm valuable and a gifted member of the body of Christ, and so is everyone else. And now he brings it home, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Outside of your salvation, as you discover your giftedness, and what is your giftedness? It's anything you have that can be energized by the Holy Spirit to advance the story of Jesus. Anything you have that the Holy Spirit can energize to advance the story of Jesus, you're a part of what God's up to and what he's doing. And you know what? A few years ago, there was a state championship football game. Game's winding down. Team's on like their opponent's 2-yard line. Got time for one more play. And they're going to run to the left, kind of off tackle and maybe even a little bit more of a sweep. The tight end was lined up, though, out to the right. And he knew that the play was going not to his side, but to the other side. And so when the ball was snapped, he didn't really fire off, which immediately signaled to that linebacker, that play's not coming to this side. And he made a beeline down the line of scrimmage and tackled the ball carrier right before he crossed the goal line. All because one person at this end said, "Ah, I'm not really critical to this play." All of you are the body of... What that means is the Holy Spirit wants to work through you and me and all of us, ordinary men and women, to deliver the goods. What that means is some unmet need in some person's life is that golden opportunity for God to show up through you, through you. He asks now some rhetorical questions. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. And now he asks these questions. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? Obviously not. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Not every person has every gift, but we can all pursue the greatest gift, he says, and he'll begin to talk about it, which is love. And when you take what you have, energized by the Holy Spirit, and act in love, people get blessed. They just get blessed. All right, two or three things I'd like for you to write down. First of all of us are born again to do God's work by God's power. And when you align yourself, when you acknowledge, I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, I am His instrument, and you commit, you pre-commit yourself to saying, Lord, I know that you want to work through me. I know that you are working through me. And when you give God permission to do that, we do God's work by God's power. Secondly, all of us are born again to take risk of faith in serving God. What's a risk? It's something that's a little scary. You're going to serve in a way that's a little scary. How is it scary? Well, you might fail. There's no guarantee of success. I might look awkward. But listen carefully. Don't convince yourself that God can use you without your faith. Jesus once came to Nazareth and he says, I can't do any miracles here. And you'd think, well, what do you mean you can't do? You can do anything. He said, I can't do any miracles here. Why? These people don't believe. And where there's no faith, I'm not willing to step out there and take a risk. But when you step out there and you take a risk, you're saying, God, I really believe that you're going to show up. I believe you're going to show up through my little timid steps of faith. You were made to take risk of faith. And last of all of us are born again to share God's heart for people. God loves people. And we were made to share his heart. Let me tell you a couple of stories. Last Sunday, we had three folks over for Sunday lunch. We had Jim and Chrissy Howard, and and a new friend of mine by the name of Fong. And Fong is in this service. Fong, wave at us. There he is, right there. Super young man. And 2 weeks ago, my wife was in this service. Today she was in the first service, but 2 weeks ago she was in this service. And she and Fong struck up a conversation, and she said, well, here, come sit with us. So he sat with our family a couple of weeks ago. And during the course of their conversation that morning, Fong shared with my wife, Martha, he said, well, you know, I've been a Christian now for several months, and actually your husband played a role in my conversion, and he's not even aware of it, and someday I'd like to tell you that story. Now, I'm going to tell you the story, and you'll sense that I played about, you know, one half of 1%. And so she said, well, great, we'll have you over one night for dinner, and you can just sort of tell us your story. Well, as it turned out, it was last Sunday for a Sunday lunch, and so we're, you know, got our crew and three guests, and we're just sitting outside around the table. It was a nice, balmy 96 degrees out there, and after lunch, Martha says, well, Vaughn, tell us your story. I'd like to hear this. And he said, well, I grew up in a home where, he said, we were Buddhist, and I didn't believe in Jesus, but Fong prayed that God would show himself to him. He had a mustard seed of faith. He just prayed, God, would you reveal yourself to me in some way? Well, in nursing school, Fong had a friend who invited him to church. And so Fong goes to church, and that was sort of his first exposure to being around, you know, a lot of church people. And this friend also encouraged him to start listening to, like, sermons, podcasts, learning more about the Bible. And so Fong started looking at church websites, came across our church website, and started listening to our podcasts. And so that's sort of where we made a connection. One day he was working at a local hospital. It was in MD Anderson. And he gets in a conversation with a lady there who was a patient. And here's a little sidebar note. This woman had prayed, when she was been diagnosed with cancer, she had prayed that God would somehow use her illness to his glory. And so Fong and this lady, they get into a long conversation, and he tells her about, you know, he's learning about Christianity, and she tells him that she is a Christian, and actually she was a member of another Church of Christ. And he said, well, I've been listening to some sermons from, like, First Colony Church of Christ. And she said something like, well, I'm familiar with that church, and that's a good church, and you ought to give them a call. And he said, well, I think I'll do that. She said, no, I'm going to call them for you. And so she and Fong, they call our church, and Kay Cullum answers and sets up a conversation with Shane Gage. And Shane, one Sunday, was just out here greeting people. Fong came in, and Shane just had a sense that that's Fong. And so they connect, and then Fong met Grant Wright and a number of our other young adults. And back in April, I believe it was, Fong was baptized into Christ. And every Monday night, Fong gets together with our oldest elder, Don Bryan, and his wife Helen, and they meet together every Monday night. And Don and Helen just mentor and disciple Fong. And anyway, Fong told us last Sunday, he said, Mr. Don is my Paul, and he tells me that I'm his Timothy. Now, my question to you is, who's responsible for Fong being here today and loving Jesus today? And God's the hero of the story. He is the head of the body. And so many different people played a part. And one of the things I always ask anybody who wants to be used by God, I ask you this question. Are you willing to be faithful in the little things? With a phone call, with a conversation. You were made for that. You were made to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And there are no little people in the kingdom of God. I close and tell you this story. Everybody's been to a church building where you've seen like a large pipe organ. And in the days before electricity, pipe organs were powered actually through bellows that were manually operated, because for a pipe organ to have sound, it has to have compressed air. And so someone, usually a young boy with a lot of energy, would be hired to work these bellows so that the pipe organ could have compressed air. Sometimes the bellows would be operated, you know, manually like this. Sometimes they would be operated by something that looked like a 19th century Stairmaster. But anyway, it took human energy to inflate the bellows to make the pipe organ have sound. The story is told about one Sunday, a particular church had a guest organist. Very well known, very well respected, very talented. He was introduced to the church. He sits down at his organ, and then, of course, over to the side, usually hidden by a curtain, was that young boy who would be operating the bellows. And the question came from behind the curtain, "Sir, are we ready?" And that organist, in his sort of puffed up way, said something back to that young boy so that, you know, nobody could hear it except for the boy. "No, we are not ready. I am ready. I have been playing this organ since long before you were born, and da, 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 and you just work the bellows. I'll take care of making the music." And that organist then hits those notes. Nothing. Stone cold silence. And then the question was asked again, "Sir, are we ready?" I'm just an ordinary brown paper sack guy. No. You are the body of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. And every single day, God wants to deliver the goods through you to someone who needs a touch from Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a privilege. And I thank you for your availability. All right. At this time, let me ask our elder couples, please, to be coming down front, take your places here as we get ready to go into our time of prayer. And also, everybody, you'll notice in your order of worship that you have a communication card. I'd like to ask that you be filling out that communication card here over the next few moments. And there's a place there for you to even write down a prayer request if you'd like our church leaders to be praying over that this week. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to enter into a time of just focused worship and a time of prayer where you are invited to come down and pray with one of our elder couples here. We're also going to have a couple of couples in the back. You can go there, and you can share whatever you'd like to share with these couples. It'll be confidential. It may be something heavy. It may be something joyful. It may be that you simply need an extra measure of wisdom right now. But the Lord tells us that when we pray together, the prayers of righteous men and women are powerful and they are effective. So everybody, please, let's stand, let's humble ourselves before the Lord, and let's pray together.